Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've brought three studs along. Jim is the first one.
Hello.
Pete's my second favourite.
Konnichiwa.
And Luke's my third favourite.
All right.
Yeah. No, you're not really. And it's your birthday today as well, isn't it?
31. No harm done.
Depends on who, which day you're listening, of course.
You've done some harm as well, let's be honest.
But every day's Luke's birthday in my head.
And I'll cry if I want to.
And he has. Right, let's begin. Now, gentlemen, I've been to 9 weddings this year already.
Too many.
Incredibly popular. I've still got 2 more to go.
Incredibly and
that's not
popular?
Just, no, but that's just not the evening, dude. That's the whole day.
Yeah, so there's money being spent on you.
and not given back.
How many lamb lunches and chicken dinners have you eaten?
Am I in the wrong room?
There's some beefy beef in there as well.
Some beefy beef in there.
Easy, Jim. Right, I'd like to know which manager would you not want as a father-in-law, Jim?
Soonis.
Really?
Oh, imagine it. Imagine the pressure. Right, you'd have to go around his at Christmas, right? What do you get him for Christmas?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be something like golf-related. It's going to be expensive. He probably won't even like it that much. You know?
Anything alpha male-related is what it
Yeah, absolutely. In the first meeting, imagine the first time you meet him, he's going to look into your soul with his steely Scottish eyes and just go, so, you're fucking my daughter. That's what it's going to be like. It'd be
and awful. And they'll 2-foot you.
Yeah.
And an early F word.
Yeah. You've planted
a flag in my daughter's centre circle.
Indeed. I don't think you'd ever get over the stair and you would constantly be just sort of living in fear. He'd give your wife away. He'd be there. Graham Souness would be there.
I've met him and he was a nice bloke.
If he started off with that metaphor Pete just suggested, I'd be very impressed.
Yeah.
Well,
there's nothing to say he will, though.
No, it's true.
No.
Okay. And you might say you've met him and he's a nice bloke, but you're not interfering with his daughter, right?
Interfering. The covenant of marriage.
Yeah. There is a bit of romantic purity out there still, Jim.
Well.
It's in my pants, yeah?
And
come and get it, ladies.
There's no ladies listening.
Pete, what have you got for us?
I want to go for Phil Brown. Because
right.
He'd have plenty of advice for the the night in particular.
He'd lend you a fake tan.
You'd have to hang out with Phil Brown as well.
Yeah, that is true. Just drinking foaming nut brown ale in a.
You could get a trip across America
fire
with him, though.
Yeah.
That would be the honeymoon.
Do you want to come in my sidecar?
He'd take you and your wife on a honeymoon across America. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like Billy Connolly in many ways, isn't he?
Not as good.
It'd be bad. I think there'd be worse people out there to have like.
No,
a
he'd
beer
be embarrassing. You'd be like, "Oh, go on, Bennett."
I've met Phil Brown. He's all right.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Are you going to say this for everyone? He's just lying.
If you say people I've met, yes. And I think are all
I've
right.
I've met Göring.
Yeah. Right, Luke, what have you got?
I would have to go for Harry Redknapp.
Predictable.
Not only because I would. I wouldn't be held accountable for my actions. Yeah. Because one minute I'd be in the living room having a chat and he'd be talking about how much he likes me. Yeah. Next minute I'd be at the door.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to get other boyfriends in as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Sandra would be a better son-in-law than you.
Mind you, he does have a nice
confusing.
House. He does have a nice house down Sandbanks.
Yeah, true. I'd go to the pub with him.
And his daughter is Louise Redknapp.
Daughter-in-law.
I know.
He'd make you play Wii.
You get to meet Jamie, though, wouldn't you?
Gets to play Wii.
Oh, you're literally my brother. No.
So close.
I'd go for a pint with him. It was Harry Redknapp down the pub, and he'd just spend all his time looking at other blokes around my age. Yeah, I like him. Good lad.
Good lad.
It's not for me to talk about somebody on the next table, but, you know, I will.
He looks like a good lad.
I think it would improve this table. Yeah. He'd improve his conversation.
Yeah, he'd find your wife another husband.
Yeah.
He would quite quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Megson.
No explanation needed.
Right, okay.
On we go with the show.
Right. Now I need to dish out some points. There was a big backlash from some people that I got a hat-trick
from
last week,
from most
there?
People, I think.
No, yeah. I had my own most group of
free-thinking individuals.
That's not true. Like Gaddafi, I had my own set of...
Stop comparing yourself to Gaddafi. That's the second week in a row, and it's not a good sign.
That's true. No, you see, points are given to the best answers. If mine was the best answer, I'd have a haul.
Yeah, but you cannot possibly be subjective. This is the point. I think your answer was the best answer last week.
Thank you.
Point is, you're not in a position to be able to dish that out.
I have the points, so I give them to whoever I want.
Just do them.
Disgrace.
So
this is an overspeller.
It's like you're applying foundation on a mound of your own poop.
Yeah. How?
Last week you'd done well, but you'd had 2 weeks of just.
So why can't I then take the points then? So you're saying I'm ineligible? So you're the corrupt ones.
It's like Alex Ferguson refereeing a Man United game.
No, it isn't.
Of course it is.
Which I've seen him do.
And he's done very well out of that.
See, VS Boss has already started putting in complaints.
See, he's forcing you to get on with the show. He's forcing it through.
Mine wasn't the best answer this week, so I'm not going to get the points. Luke's was the best answer, so he gets the points.
Birthday bias.
Which is the name of my new band.
That's how it works, people. There's
Cheers,
no
guys.
Agenda here.
Thanks very much.
I went easy on you last season, but now I'm getting stuck in. So there we are.
You're a horrid dictator comparing yourself to Gaddafi.
The Premier League went on the weekend, and Manchester United beat Chelsea 3-1 in an incredible game full of shocking misses and some lovely goals. Who would like to go first?
Please, Jim.
It was worth pointing out at first, it was a brilliant game, isn't it? One of the best seen so far this season. But, you know, United were very, very good, very sort of ruthless, which was the difference between them. But Nani's goal and Chris Smalling's goal as well, they should have been flagged offside. So United got quite lucky there. And it's interesting because they were really convincing, but at the same time, it showed that they're not invincible. It was a strange kind of contradictive performance from United. Because
it was just such an open performance. In the past, we've seen those games at the very top of the Premier League, the sort of, you know, in quotes, top four, and they've always over the last few years have been very cagey. They don't want to give anything away. They're almost scared to lose the game, and they end up getting a bit disappointed. It's not been that way this season at all so far, and the United-Chelsea game was an excellent example of that. It was so open.
Yeah.
It's back and forth, back and forth.
The philosophies of all those sides are a lot more attacking than they've been, generally speaking, in a long time. You throw City into the mix, and I mean, even they were quite pragmatic last season. But
yeah, they were massively.
They're
yeah.
really, really on the front foot all the time, and it's great.
Lads, I think we're all forgetting that Torres did a really funny miss.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
I counted like 30 seconds there without nobody mentioning it, because he did a really funny miss.
We got an email from a Chelsea fan begging us not to rip him, and I'm afraid. Like,
he's learned nothing about this show, has he? Yeah. However long he's been listening.
Do you know what, right? I felt really, really sick in my stomach when he missed that. Yeah. I was watching it, and you know when something really bad happens on the news, and you're just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. It was like that for me.
United fans celebrated it like it was a goal.
Yeah. But for, I mean, I suppose sort of one classy striker to another. I know that. did I get away with that? No, I think that.
It was awful. That's basically what you're saying. It was
just
terrible.
Lost for words.
I've got a point to make if you want.
Yeah. Now, what I was going to say there before I just nearly blew up,
explode,
is that he rounded the keeper beautifully. And I immediately thought, oh my goodness, he scored two goals. They're right back in it, interesting last 8 minutes, all in the time before he missed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he probably thought that as well. It was a classic case of he thought it was already in.
Guess who's back in it, in his head, get back again. Guess
who's double at Ultra
personal demons.
It's worth pointing out that he just scored the goal of the day. It's such a shame.
No, Nani scored the goal of the day.
Okay, it was the second best goal of the day. The best Chelsea goal of the day.
But the weekend, we could even say.
But, I mean, realistically, in the context of his career at Chelsea, so the 9 months that he's been there, or whatever it is now, he would have gone a great long way to rebuilding his confidence, being a shoo-in to start the next important game with two goals there, even if they carried on and went on to lose the game. But he's just undone every piece of good work. He looked really good apart from that.
Yeah.
He buzzed around, he was confident, his touch was quite sure, he linked up play nicely, took his goal wonderfully well. Beautiful finish, you know.
I think he's back.
Well, he was excellent in the Champions League, wasn't he? And I think it'd be interesting to see how long it is before he gets another goal, because he is looking better.
Here's a stat for you.
Go on.
First league defeat for VS Boas in 17 months.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
That's a long time,
isn't
it?
That's a beautiful stat. Yeah.
Also, it's an interesting stat about Torres. He's got 4 shots on target this season so far, which is...
Not great.
Blimey.
No.
Not great. Including, and now, obviously, the miss would have been another one.
Well, it would have been a goal, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
should have,
sure, yeah.
Should have, would have, could have. Yeah. Pete, will the ground staff get a roasting from Alex Ferguson after Rooney lost his footing for the penalty?
I don't think it was as much of a sort of lost footing as I've seen. Well, for example, the Terry miss in the Champions League or the Beckham one. Yeah. It was. I think that possibly could have been recoverable if he wasn't going for the top right-hand corner, which I think he probably was doing.
He did seem to kick his own standing foot away as well. Maybe he was trying to kick his foot into the ball. Saw a really spectacular goal and just fluffed it.
The most gutted bloke in that, of the day was Gary Neville. He was beside himself. It was either Souness or Redknapp said, "Oh yeah, but they won the game. We'll have a laugh about that later." Neville was like, "No, he won't."
No, but Neville's like that though. Like, yeah. Apparently, even after when England beat Germany 5-1 in Germany, everyone's going, "Oh, we just beat Germany 5-1 in Germany." He's like, "Hey, but we've still got another game to go." Do you know what I mean? He's like that. He was like that.
I'm not happy about that one.
Yeah, but even when the anchorman tried to move things on, every time Redknapp says something, he'll be fine. He won't. He'll be fine. He won't. He wouldn't believe it.
But that's why Neville got to playing so many finals and win so many leagues and all the rest of it, because
I love him as a pundit.
He's a great pundit
because he's obtuse and furious.
it's good to have an opinionated man on there.
He wasn't that blessed with a great amount of skill, was he?
No. He's incredibly single-minded, I think.
Hard working, absolutely.
Honed to the basics.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of misses. That Ramirez had a great chance in the first half. Rooney hitting the post with that one.
It's a bloody good match.
Oh, it was just superb.
There has been some roastings in this Premier League season so far. So many goals, ridiculous.
Big scores are back, aren't they? But one, I don't know if any of you guys know the reason for this, but Cole's foul on Chicharito.
Actually,
Cole's booked, but there was no penalty. Well, does anyone understand why
the ball
that
was
happened?
The ball was officially out of play when it happened,
which is very, very tight decision.
Marginal decision, yeah. I don't know how the referee could have given that accurately, but he did.
That's what he mouthed. Apparently,
he should have been sent off for it.
Jake.
Oh, it's outrageous.
So high. Yeah.
Are we done with that game? I mean, so many things. Any more for any more?
I can't wait for Blackburn Arsenal. So I'm chomping at the bit.
Well, let's keep talking about this one.
We're going to move down to London, but it's just to Fulham so far. Fulham 2, Manchester City 2. City dropping points, 2-0 up. Fulham, Bobby Zamora deflected Danny Murphy.
You sort of look at
Bobby
that.
Z,
yeah.
You can't really account for that.
Yeah, but Zamora scored a great goal though.
Yeah,
it was a very, very decent hit. You just sort of think at this. I think I said it last season when I think Manchester United dropped a few points. You're like, well, they'll not get that back. Chelsea have got this one all wrapped up.
Someone said to me, a Man City fan said to me, you were there, Marcus. Was we I? Were sitting having lunch, and a Man City fan said to us, I said, oh yeah, I was chatting to him. I said, oh, 2-0 up, and you've drawn 2-0. You went, yeah, sounds like the last 20 years, really, doesn't it?
No, relegation, promotion,
Georgia Kincladze.
Keegan.
I couldn't agree with the say, I just went, it's not that bad. But they're alright.
You're still second.
Of the last 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
You're in the Champions League, you're second.
Unless he'd just come out of a coma.
Maybe. That's the only.
Yeah, it literally sums it up because that's all he's seen. One match.
Dear, but Aguero again on the score sheet.
Twice.
Let's go to
it's a machine.
Let's go to Spurs 4 Liverpool 0. Modric with a beauty. Redknapp says he needs a pay rise.
Levy was absolutely hit that much.
Has he got a filter? For what, because I presume everyone around this table has got like an internal monologue where they think loads of different things and they say some of them.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Luke. And if any get through, you, Luke.
If any get through, they're edited out.
I like to think of what comes out of my mouth. No matter of quality, they are my best bits.
You have got nice boobs. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
He's wheeling and dealing within his own club.
He can't help doing a favour for someone. That's what you're out there, don't worry.
It's probably his ambition to be an agent.
His own agent.
Yeah.
He would love that, wouldn't he? He'd get negotiate for himself.
It was a goal of the weekend though by Modric.
I thought Nani's was myself.
Oh, fair enough.
But there we are.
Spurs started off excellent.
Xavi's got a few things to say about that.
Has he?
Deft lob.
Later will be greater. Levy, surely he's going to get pissed off of Redknapp at some point and just...
Redknapp does make a point though. Redknapp's trying to force his hand, isn't he? Because he just desperately
doesn't
want
to lose.
Through the media. He doesn't want to lose Modric, does he?
That's his only vehicle.
I don't know about that.
He clearly does not use the email system.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the game itself was really, really interesting to watch. Liverpool seemed completely at odds with what they've been like in the start of the season, where they've actually started pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the two sendings off, obviously that's going to sort of just, you know, torpedo any side, but they started really badly as well. Spurs were all over them.
For me, that was a measure of the class of Scott Parker, because Adam was second to everything, out of his depth completely against Parker. And he got his comeuppance because he couldn't get anywhere near him. And the second challenge especially was a nasty one, and it was a deserved red card. I felt sorry for Skrtel because Carragher, of all his experience, and I don't want to incur the wrath of too many Liverpool fans, but Carragher's not looked great this season at all. And I was thinking to myself, all that experience, go and help your mate out. Go and help Skrtel out. He's being roasted. He is being roasted here. And in a way, it wasn't even his fault he got sent off. Because there's nothing he could do. He had no protection or anything. He was completely hung out to dry.
That's right. Another team who scored four goals on the weekend were Blackburn. And it was against Arsenal. They only got three, so the scoreline finished 4-3.
Arsenal only
got two of those goals. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't go towards your tally, though. Jim, happy scoring three away, or is it a bit of a kick in the teeth?
What do you think?
I'm goading you.
You are. You're literally goading me. Well, obviously, it's another ridiculous result, isn't it? And what's worrying is that it doesn't seem to matter who the personnel are. The same mistakes are there. It's ludicrous.
Can I ask you a question?
What's funny about that?
It's what Luke's about to say.
Straight question. Has there ever been a funnier team in the Premier League? Because it's not like they've got a really good aptitude for just being hapless.
Yeah, no, it's a slapstick.
Yeah. Koscielny.
Koscielny is
a human cockerel.
Incredible.
He looks like a human cockerel.
As you pointed out, he looks like a dinosaur, but he also looks like a cockerel. It's like a dinosaur that's evolved into a cockerel, then into a man, and just doesn't have the sort of brain of a human, it would seem. His distribution's been really, really poor as well. He loves to lump it.
Yeah,
or just a really short pass to the opposition to put yourself under loads of pressure when you've worked really hard to win the ball back. It's just baffling at the moment, and Wenger's baffled as well. No one knows what to do.
Giroud and Song just looking at each other going, well, it wasn't me. Put it in.
Your QB's first was amazing. It was like, I'm like, there you go.
I'm not running.
This is what I do.
Your QB's not played for so long. Yeah. He was really up for play, and then when he started playing, he was like, oh yeah, I don't really like doing this.
That'll be enough.
Jovinho in the first half had a great chance to slide in Van Persie and sort of get up to 3-1, and Van Persie went mad away.
And
it's same, of course, and I mean it's good to see that response from the captain as well. But it is it's ludicrous that these same problems are cropping up. But you've got to question what Wenger's teaching them to do. I got an email from Wenger this morning, as many
big
of us
Veng.
Do.
Yeah, big
Veng, as many of us do that sign up to the newsletter and that sort of thing. And it's unusual. He just sounds gutted in it. Just like it's not good enough. It's not good enough. We're trying to fix it. You know, it's just the same sort of mistakes happening over and over again, and it's maddeningly frustrating.
No, you can't sort of tell me that at any point in it, like even a training match, those goals will be going in.
They've had some stinking goals.
But the thing with it is, it's you go to Blackburn, you know they're a team that are really strong on set pieces. It's what they've sort of set their stall out as. So you concentrate.
Yeah,
at least concentrate. the free kick that came in for the Song own goal. Like if you were lofting in a free kick to someone for them to practice making clearances, that's what you would do.
He didn't even put it in the direction of a player of his own team. He just sort of lobbed it in there.
Blackburn are incredibly
good. Don't worry,
they're
going to score it for us.
Incredibly good at corners though. It seems that that's all they seem to do midweek, I think.
They looked much fitter actually, Blackburn. They looked a lot sharper. I was really concerned how unfit they looked up until the game at the weekend. We spoke about it last season briefly, and we were talking about how the top level, the ability is obviously there. It's all about the decisions you make and how you make the right decision at the right time. Mm. And you just reminded me of that with the Jovinho Van Persie thing. I've never known a supposedly top team or Champions League team, to consistently make the wrong decision over and over again. And it's not. I know a couple of the goals were unfortunate, Songs and Koscielny's and stuff. But make the right decision. Don't give that free kick away.
I mean, Giroud in leading up to Koscielny's own goals, or just got. It's like he roasted himself.
Yeah,
like sort of just letting Olsen through. It was ludicrous. And as you say, with the sort of consistency consistency thing. And you know, making those wrong decisions. You look at Man United, as we were just saying, they're ruthless. Yeah. They just know what to do straight away. Yeah. You see the ball go to Rooney. You see the options open up, and it's just obvious.
Of course,
but you don't. That doesn't happen at Arsenal.
The reason we were laughing at the beginning to talk about this is because you couldn't script it.
No.
Basically, they'll go away to Blackburn, who are like a really strong team. They'll score like two own goals, and the two guys that'll terrorise them will be Dan and Samba, who they're supposed to have signed but didn't bother.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it up.
No, you could, but it'd just be really lazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or like some deliberately bad Roy of the Rovers.
That's right. Yeah.
And you did tweet that when you see Arsenal play like that, you think of Jim's little face and laugh.
Well, it's part of my life is obviously talking about football with Jim, so it's always relevant when it comes to Arsenal.
I mean,
I always think of him. I can't help it.
It's worth pointing out as well that as we sat down to record, Arsenal and Shrewsbury were 1-1 in the Carling Cup, so we don't know what's going on there. But it already looks
Shrewsbury leading as well.
Yeah. When Pete said that, you opened your mouth and no words came out. Go on the Shrews. That's what I said.
Oh dear, I did.
Oh dear.
Right, all three promoted sides won for the first time on a match day since February 2007.
Mm. I remember that.
Interesting.
I think we'll probably all do, Pete. Joey Barton played well for QPR, a great win at Wolves.
He's back
with Carl Henry. Reunited, one might say.
He was letting Wolves know how well he was playing as well, according to Henry, wasn't he?
Telling everyone he's on 80 grand a week.
But the thing about that is, that's fine, that's what Barton wants to do. But Carl Henry was sort of using that as an excuse. Yeah, but he's saying it. He always says it. Well, if he always says it, don't react to it.
Surely. Henry was saying, they were winning at this point. Why bother? And that was almost his justification for clattering into him. That doesn't make it all right.
No.
Like, I punched him because I didn't like him.
No, yeah, exactly,
like,
yeah.
I quite like the quote. He said, Joey Barton was telling everyone he is on 80 grand a week as usual.
He couldn't have earned that much at the start. Surely his wages are going to be the same every week.
You know it's going to happen.
Still on 80 grand a week, boys.
According to you, Carl, or Kelvin, you know what's going to happen. So why are you reacting like that?
Yeah. Get yourself a better contract and we'll talk.
Exactly, yeah.
Barton did respond, didn't he, saying, I bet Henry feels like an idiot today. And blah, blah, blah. Hashtag mug.
Hashtag Sunday league player as well.
I'm
really enjoying this feud. It's so beautifully childish.
Yeah. QPR look right more back up for it, don't they? That's a sentence. Any they look far more energised, dynamic.
Sign a lot of players, they're settling into the league.
Well, they bought a lot of players of Premier League experience, didn't they? So it's just natural.
Makes a hell of a difference.
Which is impressive.
Phillips looks like he's found his mojo again.
He's playing with a smile on his face, which he hasn't done for quite a while, with his blue spot in his heart and stuff.
Exactly.
Maybe a little spot.
I think it will benefit Tarabd as well to not be sort of the main man.
Yeah.
To have sort of proven quality around him.
Almost like he thrives on being the main man, and he has to be the centre of attention. But at the same time, he sort of hates it and reacts badly to it as well.
Yeah, he's like pulling the game up by its shoestring, so to speak. But I think in that sort of situation as QPR are in now, they've got the sort of support player. So as the manager said himself, there's no excuse to for not scoring more goals.
Warnock said that in reference to Zerat, we signed the players to support him now, so we've got to go out and
the best thing about the weekly press conference he did, it's really hard being like a really smart, sort of clever, creative player. I mean, centre half, I mean, they're just thoughtless, they don't really, and it's like poor old Ferdinand, fuck me.
Tarek's been unlucky this season. He's had a couple of great efforts at the post.
His ability's never in question. And if he carries on playing, he will get goals. Because as Pete said, he's got the players around him now.
As Pete said. Norwich, good win away at Bolton. And the Swans got their first goals against West Brom in a 3-0 win.
Yeah.
Leroy Leita scoring and creating a goal. He could be a big player for them. Bit of a Premier League experience.
I don't think he will be.
I said could.
Yeah, he could be. I don't see. I know this has been sort of refuted by numerous Swans fans, but I don't see where they're going to score a tremendous amount of goals from, to be honest.
No.
I mean, they scored a reasonable amount in the Championship last season. They didn't struggle for goals, but it doesn't always translate.
It's one of those ones where it's like you're in a league where the big teams are smashing, proper putting teams to the sword. So you sort of assume. I mean, this is how bloody Newcastle are like fourth or fifth in the league because they've just sneaked up there. They've not scored any goals.
You don't think they've played that well, they haven't really done much.
No, I think they've defended well. They're defending very well, but they just don't have that sort of focal point up front. I mean, whether Leon Best turns into that player overnight, I very much doubt it. But you just sort of think that will secure your position, a decent defence, and not losing 5 or 6-0 because Man United's Chelsea will hit their stride, and the Man Cities of this world will just absolutely destroy players.
Yeah, very true.
The boy they had up front on loan from Chelsea at Swansea last season, he's not there, and he scored quite a lot of goals in his loan spell there too.
Still got Scott Sinclair still there.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were to get someone like, I know, someone like Torres on loan in January.
Imagine they farm out on loan. You can go and play the Swansea, but you're not playing against them.
But it's one of those big things that...
Actually, you can.
Andy Brassel did a really good piece for us back end of last season on the
footballramble.com, it's our website,
about how much of a folly it is to buy in January. And I hate to see managers and owners sort of saying, we'll look to January to strengthen again. It's like... Do it now. Do it now or don't do it at all.
You need it or you don't. Need it for half a season.
I'm of the opinion that, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but I'd like to see, I know the reason the transfer window's there, and but I'd like to see it end before the season starts in Europe, and the European seasons, maybe if they can, start closer together. So then, because as you said, Jim, the other day, it feels like it's a false start to the season.
Because
you have a couple of games and then someone goes, oh, they're not playing that well. Oh yeah, but they get a couple of players in before the end of August. It just feels a bit odd.
It's Sammy Nasri's played for two Premier League teams this season. It's weird.
Yeah, it is.
Or do away with the transfer window.
But the problem with that, though, Marcus, is that if you do that, then you get to the back end of the season, 3 months to go, all the rich clubs just buy loads of players up to help them for their final push.
Do you like the transfer window?
I do like it. I think it's okay, but I think it could be tweaked.
Okay.
I mean, you hit January this season. You got the African Nations Cup. They're going to be bringing in, and people are going to be panic buying just because they're losing a player for a cup.
That always happens, doesn't it? Always happens.
Down in the Championship, Southampton top, beating Birmingham 4-1. Birmingham,
excellent result for
another
them.
Europa League hangover there, maybe. But Southampton going really well.
Worth pointing out in the Europa League, Braga, who played Birmingham, took 13 fans, I think it was.
13.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And they got lucky. Steve McLaren's Forest really struggling now, beaten at home by Derby 2-1 after Derby reduced to 10 men after about 2 minutes. Goalkeeper Frank Fielding was sent off.
That game and Forest, I don't know how it happened, but they even managed to make it look like that Derby had a man over at times. It was crazy.
I reckon Steve McLaren would quite like to have a Forest right now. He could hide in there and nobody would have to speak to him.
This is a shame because it kind of destroys the theory on McLaren that it's rubbish, good, rubbish, good.
Is that really a theory?
Well, it's always been my theory.
I'm in season, lads.
Exactly.
Not spoken to anyone at Opta, but
I don't think this is McLaren's fault. I really don't.
You don't? Right. I think they've got an awful lot of good players, mate, for that league. They've got players like Andy Reid. He's performed at that level. Jonathan Greening, Lewis McGugan, he's a good player. You know, they've got Ishmael Miller, Matt Derbyshire.
But you've got,
got good players.
They've been knocking on the door for such a long time and they've just had the crap kicked out of them again. You know what I mean? That's psychologically, that must be like, well, who's going to bring us over?
But
who's going
to
put us over the line?
Well, McLaren has been saying that you know, he couldn't get in the players he wanted, and that it was maybe intimated that he could get. So, you know, that's... Yeah, it's not entirely his fault, is it? But he's got to be doing better than that.
I think I completely disagree. I think the blame's at his door. He may not have got the players he wanted, but he has got a squad, or at least a good core of players there who could play at that level. And, you know, if you are playing 88... I mean, you know, you've had 88 minutes of a game, a goal up against 10 men. You know, it's a perfect start for you. You score a goal... Their keeper gets sent off and you've got 88 minutes left to put...
Doesn't mean to say that's McLaren's fault.
Well, it's his fault that he can...
Well, is it Arsene Wenger's fault that Arsenal are playing badly?
Yeah, of course it is.
I don't think it is.
It's his responsibility.
The blame is split between the players and the manager in any situation. Surely,
well, to be a bit more scientific about it, then okay, there's never been a question mark over Steve McLaren's ability as a coach. Right? Yeah. He's a great coach. He's built his reputation as an excellent number two, and he's done well at places where he maybe hasn't had to impose his authority on the group of players. You know, so that's the thing that's in question with McLaren as a manager. As far as I know, is authority. Okay, he can't stamp his impression on a group of players sometimes, and that is exactly what's happening at Forest. He can't turn it around. I know you're saying the players do take some responsibility. Of course they do, and it's not 100% the manager ever, but when you see his players standing around appealing for the game to be stopped because a player's injured,
and
not only that, then what's his name, Jamie Ward, dances through the entire team and beats the keeper in the near post. Okay, there's some human error in there, but he's got to lift them. And there was only going to be one winner of that game after that happened. Only ever going to be one winner of that game. And just to finish quickly, the missed, I know Jeff Hendrick scored the winner, but the miss he had where he put a header wide of the post, there was no one within 10 yards of him, and the Forest team had a man extra. It was crazy.
Well, it seems that the Forest team just don't really know what they're being told
by
McLaren. They're looking around at each other going, oh, it's all Dutch to me.
Very good. The evergreen Kevin Phillips scored a beauty for Blackpool.
What a goal.
In a one draw with Cardiff. He's 38 years old.
That
but then,
goal.
But then the manager said that it was a cross.
Nah, that no,
but,
yeah,
but the no, manager no, said the manager that. Said that Kevin who, Phillips who's the said manager? That it
Ian Holloway.
the goal was reminiscent of Felix Magath. I've done a bit of research around Felix Magath, well, yeah. And he scored the goal exactly like that in the 83 European Cup final for Hamburg.
Nice.
Exactly like it. Check it out.
Ooh, knowledge bomb.
In League 2, Plymouth are without a manager after they sack Peter Reid. Mm. Captain Carl Fletcher takes over as caretaker manager. Poor old Peter Reid.
Mm. Poor old Peter Reid.
Yeah, I think
dipping his hand in his own pocket to play for the clubs he's in, yeah. Auctioning off his 1986 FA Cup runners up medal to help.
Bless him.
I think it was to pay members of staff, was it?
I think it was a gas bill, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a heating bill.
There's a number of different things. Yeah. Good bloke, not that good a manager, is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had an impossible task there. I'm
not blaming him for that particular job, yeah.
He should spend some time on his tyre seat and just, you know, just.
tremendous
he can leave with his head held high.
As far as I know, the guy taking over Carl Fletcher, I've not seen an awful lot of Plymouth since they left the Championship, actually, but the guy who takes over Carl Fletcher, ex West Ham, is he? Yeah, he's been their player of the year the last two seasons, you know.
I do hope that the LMA manages to sort of bleed Risdale for some sort of. Reparations
to around club still. I don't like to see it. It makes me nervous. I don't like to see it. And for someone, I think Peter is a good bloke. And I think, you know, he got Sunderland promoted twice and he deserves credit for that. I mean, it was a long time ago, but he deserves credit for it. He's a good football man. He seems like a nice bloke, you know. He might be a bit hapless, but I don't like to see someone like him being sacked by someone like Risdale.
There's an argument, though. It's 1 point out of possible 27, and that something had to change.
But he's had to sell so many players.
I'm not saying 40 players since two years ago.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not been completely hamstrung, but a change has to happen, and that's the only feasible one, right?
They want to stay in the Football League. It's up to them to make a decision. Yeah.
It's a shame.
I think we're forgetting a little matter of a little Peruvian scoring a goal for Hartlepool United this weekend. And a fine little sort of burst through and finish. Messi-esque, you might say.
Norberto Solano.
He's a beautiful boy.
my mum's very upset with Norberto Solano.
Oh, no.
Why? He's not again,
No. It's
not since the court case.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
My sister goes out with a Peruvian. She's actually living in Peru at the moment.
Okay. And a beautiful country it is.
A beautiful country. Is too, and my mum tried to get a signed photograph of Nobby Solano by writing to Hartlepool United, and she's not heard anything.
Oh,
this is back in June.
That's not got to him. That has not got to him.
But that's what I said to mum. I said, I'm trying to think, can you imagine how many people work at Hartlepool United? Then I thought, how many people work at Hartlepool United?
It's more likely to be the case that there's one bloke who's doing everything and hasn't got around to it.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, mum, not happy, Nobby Solano, shall we go to Scotland?
Okay.
Let's go to the SPL on that sad note.
The big one, Rangers 4, Celtic 2.
A draw would have been the best result for your Gorgie boys.
For the Gorgie boys. They won, don't worry about that. But to Alan McGregor with a mistake, but fortunately his teammates managed to get the goals that won the game and saved the brushes.
It taught me a great thing, that there's nothing more satisfying in football than screaming, Alan McGregor! In a really broad Glaswegian accent. It's very satisfying.
You've undone all your good punditry.
Go
I feel.
Should we have a go?
Yeah, go.
All
you do
of
it.
Us at once.
Okay. No, you're just you, Jimbo. Alan McGregor.
God, yeah, that is really satisfying.
Feels good,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Oh, feels God, good. It feels like I'm shouting at the moon.
It was a Taibbi-esque error, which is a bit unfair to say because we know Taibbi wasn't really that bad, but it was reminiscent of that.
That's right. Now, at the risk of more men shouting around me, did you see who was in the box with, you know, Ali McCoist obviously watches the game like Walter Smith used to do up in one of the boxes. Often you get a few famous faces or infamous faces in there. Andy Gray was just in front of him.
Now, you, Marcus, wrote on the email that Andy Gray was in the box celebrating. Now, I thought of a completely different box. And I'm thinking, he's going to be in trouble for that.
Tuck
this in me box.
He's not allowed on telly anymore.
No, I wasn't talking about his genitals, I was talking about the penalty area.
Oh, okay. Right,
Jiminy Cricket.
It works on both levels.
It works on both levels, good.
Yeah. That's very kind.
Yeah. Was it nice to see Andy?
Right, I'll do it then.
Come on. Am I going to have to prompt?
I've seen the game, and we've won it, and I've been happy, and I know I have, and I've said so myself.
I've left the ground with my feet.
I know you have, and I know you know I have. Take a bow, Andy.
Chris Commons doing some complaining on Twitter. I was fit and I couldn't play. He wouldn't let us play. And Lennon just went, why is he talking about this on Twitter?
What's Twitter?
Have you been part of a squad before?
You weren't pit, mate. Imagine that. Lennon just replied, you weren't pit.
Now,
Eligible me. Isn't picked though, is it? Yeah. Eligible, that's different.
We're all eligible.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that wasn't the only derby going on at the weekend, I believe. The Stockholm Derby also took place in Sweden, of course. AIK and Djurgården, with both sets of fans staging a protest for the first 10 minutes of the match, being silent.
Eerie, isn't it? Is this to do with being a perceived sort of heavy-handed treatment by the authorities?
It was, yeah. I think the Swedish FA, or the Swedish governing body of football, they have been clamping down on, I suppose, individual acts of hooliganism.
Is it fair to say Kenny Pavey didn't get the memo?
we'll move on to Kenny Pavey in just a second. Don't we worry about that. So, yeah, they've been clamping down very, very harshly, a real zero-tolerance policy, and the fans are saying, you know, you're going over the top here. We're allowed to act like fans. This is ridiculous.
So 10 minutes was, this is what it'll be like without fans. Basically.
Exactly, that's what a lot of the
fans must have been like. You know that scene in The Birds where they come out and they're all just sat there,
eerie, yeah,
silent.
Yeah.
But it was quite eerie, you know, and like you could hear the footballers like shouting at each other.
But you could hear a bit of muttering. I was a bit annoyed at that. I was going, come on. If you're going to do a protest, do it properly. It's 10 minutes, you don't need to speak.
If one does it, you might as well all do it.
But on the 10-minute mark, when they all suddenly came to life, it was quite great.
And they all had them, the coloured, different coloured scarves, and that's they both right. had like their. Their colours.
But didn't they then set off loads of fireworks to throw them on the pitch? Slightly counterproductive.
Well, I was going to gloss over that. But,
no, but I mean, you know, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because they are saying it's heavy-handed.
I think that was at the start of the second half.
But you can't have a single firework in a ground. It's dangerous. It's ludicrous. They are protesting over a silly thing there, I think.
I'm team fans. Kenny Pavey, he played. He came on the 65th minute, I think. Should have been sent off about 3 or 4 times. And straight reds.
Someone in the
friendly
back
show,
of the
Kenny Pavey.
Did he come on just sort of swinging a lit firework? I'm with you.
One of the things
that or a mace, I don't know.
You know, I suppose if he comes on as a substitute in a derby, he's picking up the pace of the game. He's getting involved, which you understand. He's that type of player. But one of the challenges was the game had stopped. He ran in front of the ref, shoulder barged, and head butted the other guy who went down, and the ref just carried on as normal.
So am I right in saying that he didn't get a booking for either of those offences? Because the boot was even worse.
He kicked someone
like
between the legs whilst going up for a header. Yeah. I've never seen
he didn't even bother jumping, he just booted him.
Admirable.
Kenny Pavey.
Oh dear.
Boo. Naughty boy.
We do love him though, even though he's a little bit of a vagabond. Well, silent fans, we're talking about bans and whatnot. In Turkey, clubs whose fans are involved in crowd trouble will ban male fans over the age of 12, but women and children can go in. They say this is a better alternative than playing games behind closed doors.
I think it's an excellent idea.
It'd be really, really interesting. Have you ever seen netball on TV?
It's
very odd because the crowd are all women, so the cheers are very shrill. It'd be really interesting to see football played like that.
It was like England back end of sort of mid-90s.
It was, yeah.
All the school kids would just be let in, and it would just be, and they'd have like free tickets for every school in the area.
I think they should bring that back actually, because you see empty stadiums all over the place. Yeah, you really do. They should definitely do that.
They should indeed. Now let's
They're going to buy programmes, aren't they?
But yeah, it's fundamentally sexist. Yeah, it's been that clear. But
La Liga. Yeah.
Yes, all right.
They were there.
Why not?
Barcelona 8, Osasuna 0.
83% possessed.
They were unbelievable, even by their own standards.
Any slips?
Slips are plenty.
The defending was a joke. Xavi's lob was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
It was a lob. It was deft. It was beautiful.
Can I stick my neck out and say it was actually a chip? Which is a form of lob, but it was more specifically a chip.
No, I think it was off the ground.
It was a volleyed lob, I think.
Yeah, I think
I thought it was off the ground. Fair enough.
No. Then you can't.
No, I can't.
Messi's on either 8 or 9 goals already.
Yeah. So, same as Rooney, mate.
I was going to say.
Still, I mean, it's
and Aguero's got 8, I think.
God, all of them. Ridiculous.
Real Madrid lost. Yeah. We talked about Barcelona dropping 2 points. Madrid have dropped 3 points to Levante. Khedira sent off.
I read a great thing about the banner they had up in response to Cristiano Ronaldo's statement about how people don't like him because he's handsome, rich and good at football.
Yes.
Apparently, I think I read this in Sid Lowe's column, Levante put a banner up saying we are ugly, poor and bad at football. And then they won, which is amazing.
That's brilliant. Did you see Di Maria in all the career?
Yeah, doing diamond on the
unbelievable. Just sort of grabbing his eyeball.
I want to like Di Maria.
Yeah, but he just makes it so hard, doesn't he? He's a very good player, but he's just such a...
Yeah, makes it hard, yeah.
Oh, dear. Falcao got his first goal for Atletico Madrid.
Beautiful turn and shot.
Off and running.
Oh,
yeah. Goals.
Hat-trick.
Yeah, goals.
Yeah. Sorry, them losing Aguero and Forlan at the same time is potentially catastrophic, but it looks like he's just going to, you know, fill that void. They've got a great history of really, really brilliant strikers, haven't they? From, you know...
They've got Diego as well, but forget on loan.
Yeah.
Nice to see,
yeah,
nice to see Falcao playing...
Sits behind, isn't he?
Nice to see Falcao playing as a number 9 as well, in a number 9 shirt.
Yeah.
He's record at Porto, 72-87.
Decent.
Pick that out.
I will do.
Pick the bones out of that, Marcus.
Right, in the Bundesliga, Bayern versus Schalke. We're all wondering what was going to happen here with Neuer returning to his old club to get much abuse. And I think he did, but he kept a clean
from
sheet.
From everyone.
from his own supporters, from the away supporters. He kept a clean sheet. Bayern won 2-0. Good result for them. And there was a lovely moment in the Bundesliga over the weekend. The Wolfsburg goalkeeper was sent off.
We like to see it.
And an outfield player went in goal and was useless.
Yeah, there's two things I love to see. Right, one is the outfield player going in goal, and if possible, I don't want him to be like Phil Jagielka.
No, he's actually decent.
I want him to be terrible.
Yeah.
And what happened was the Japanese midfielder, I forget his name, he went in and there were 2-1 down. They ended up losing 3-1. The striker scored. And you know, when the striker, a classic example of this is when Rooney did it against, I think it was against Portugal in either World Cup 2006 or Euro 2004. I forget. He gave him the eye, sent him the wrong way, and slipped it in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Now, this guy did this against this midfielder who was in goal, and he sent him for such a dummy, he pirouetted the wrong way and didn't even dive, and the ball just went in. It was amazing. It's definitely worth checking out. It was so good.
I'm going to put this audio clip at the end of this very episode, but when Peterson scored for Bayern. This is a beautiful bit of commentary. I think it's one of the Assyrian languages, I'm not really sure, but it's definitely Arabic in Genesis. Where he's just sort of going, halla, 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 halla. It's this beautiful sort of like orgasmic sort of shrill.
It sounds quite poetic.
It's beautiful. I'm going to put it at the end. It's
nice rhythm.
Stuff. Halla, halla.
Good. Commentary and music. Right, in...
Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
going for gold. Gold. It's going for gold.
Oh, good.
You big idiots.
I've been counting down the minutes.
Oh, what happens is I throw out a load of clues to a footballer, and you guys have got to guess who it is. Just tell me to stop at any moment, and you can have a crack. Take a shot at the big boy.
Jim, are you on a hat-trick?
No.
No. Me.
Oh, you're on a hat-trick.
All ones, and I'm on two. Pete's even on one, because we didn't get it 1 week.
Which one was that one?
A woeful week.
David Beckham it was.
Is it Steve McGrissom?
Eddie Newton it was.
Eddie Newton. All right,
I'd actually forgot Eddie Newton existed.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely not going to be it this time.
No. Boo you, I tell you. Boo you.
Right, what have we got?
Your first clue?
Mm-hmm.
My first team were nicknamed Cinecet, the Blues.
Right.
I made my international debut against Malta. In my first season in the Premier League, I was voted best player in my position.
Stop. Nemanja Vidic.
No. My middle name is Albert.
Stop. Scott Carson.
No. My rival in my national team, his middle name was Miko. Or Miko. I gained 55 caps for my country, the last coming in a 1-1 against Germany in October 2009. I once slapped Roger Johnson of Birmingham City right in the chops.
Stop.
And it was well funny.
He's got it.
Is it El Hadj Diouf?
No.
Of course it's not, that's a rubbish guess.
El Hadj Albert Diouf.
You never know. You never know.
I once saved a Ruud van Nistelrooy penalty. I think we've isolated the position that he's playing
that's
in.
That's why I went to Carlton early on.
I have played over 500 times for my Premier League team.
Stop.
Daddy.
Brad Friedel.
No. My rival in my national team's first name was Antti.
Oh, stop.
Stop.
He's got it, Jimbo, that was.
UC Askelina?
Correct.
Yes! That took us ages.
Yeah.
I knew it was a keeper.
I love the way that we've removed the barrier that we definitely
got some knowledge. Yeah.
But it's not about. But it's kind of. But it puts images in your head that you're not really comfortable with.
Yeah.
There's nothing to hang your hat on.
Yeah, exactly. So
I thought it was an England goalkeeper.
Mind you, every single listener to this show tweaks in every week, so I've got that off the first clue. Don't know what you're all worried about.
I just googled it.
Yeah, exactly.
Your places aren't safe. That's what I'm going to say. Oh, but it's time for emails, though.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
Shall I get the first one out?
Go on then, old sport.
Email sack.
Yeah.
Oh, Ramblers, says Lars. In line with recent stories of bikes given to the man of the match, I've got a story from a few years back. It happened in a Norwegian top flight when Man United striker Mame Biram Diouf, then playing for Molde, was awarded a mountain bike after the match. When the interview was over, the TV cameras picked up a bemused Diouf standing by his bike in the background. The reporter continued interviewing other people and Mame was looking more and more desperate, not really knowing what to do. It became obvious that he had no idea how to ride the bike, and in the end, his clubmate and fellow Senegalese player Papa Pato Diouf helped him up on the bike and pushed him. It was the greatest background entertainment in the history of football reporting. I've tried to find video evidence of this, but not succeeded, I'm afraid. It's also a fun fact that in the game, Molde played with a strike force consisting of a Mama and a Papa Diouf.
Oh, that's great.
Lovely.
With utmost respect, says Lars.
Yeah, and brother and sister on the wing.
Giving birth to goals.
Jimbo. I have an email as well. It's about this subject of weird things being given out for Man of the Match.
We've struck a chord
with
the footballing public again, Jim.
It keeps going. It's a rich vein.
Instead of repulsing them like we usually do.
like we do to women.
Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Sorry.
Right. Should we get involved?
It's fine.
It's my show.
You can
show
get involved.
Too.
It's all right. Following on from your discussion both last and the previous week about the Coca-Cola bike prize given to the man of the match, I'd like to alert you to Gornik Zabshuya. I don't know if that's pronounced properly because Ryan Hubbard, who sent this email in, has put like how to pronounce it phonetically in brackets, but that's just ineligible
hasn't
as well.
Helped.
So yeah, it's not helped. But they are a team.
Sorry, illegible, not ineligible.
It's all of those things. and they're a team in the Polish Ekstraklasa, which Ryan follows, right? And it is a tradition of the club that at every home game, the Gornik man of the match is awarded a prize of a live chicken.
Can that be true?
It is awarded by Stanislaw Setkowski, Gornik's answer to Portsmouth's man with the bell. Setkowski breeds the poultry himself, but if a player wants to eat the bird, it's the player's job to kill it. On the bright side, over the past few seasons, Mr. Setkowski has started to put the bird in a cage. Maybe this is one we could get our Polish blogger, Michał Zakodny, to verify.
Definitely, it does
seem questionable. Yeah. But that is from Ryan Hubbard, so thank you very much, Ryan.
Brings a whole new word meaning to the word foul, doesn't it?
One for the Venkies.
Yeah, Venkies would do that.
Yeah, Blackburn should do that.
Yeah.
Good people, it's profile time, and we've got a team going into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame this week. It's Chivas Guadalajara from Mexico.
Oh, the Mexicans?
Mm. How about that?
The plucky Mexicans.
They were founded on May the 8th, 1906.
Mm. Oh, God, 61 years before the Summer of Love.
Better.
Sprung speedy. Up.
they are, of course, a Mexican football club based in Guadalajara. They play in Mexico's top flight and are one of the most successful teams in Mexican football history. And they have the biggest fan base in Mexico, Jim.
And that's a big place.
It's a bloody big
very
place.
Highly populated place as well, you know.
Mexico City, which is obviously not the city they're from, it was one of the biggest populated cities in the world at
there
one point.
Go.
So there you go. They've also never been relegated from the top division, which is always a good achievement. Now, the uniqueness of Chivas is found in their cantera policy, which is, I suppose, slightly to Athletic Bilbao, that they only field players from Mexico or of Mexican heritage. This is one of the many supporters and admirers in Mexico.
I quite like that. It's quite a nice touch.
Yeah. A few little names that have come out of the club.
I can tell you one, definitely. Carlos Vela.
Carlos Vela.
Arsenal player.
Mm. Yeah. Carlos Salcedo.
Oh, yeah, Fulham.
Chicharito Hernandez.
Chicharito.
Chicharito.
Little P.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, as I said, they were founded in 1906 by a Belgian man called Edgar.
The irony of them not fielding anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the sort of thing we criticise Russia for.
Yeah. First general meeting, we're only doing Mexican. What, see you later then? All right. My work is done.
Oh, God. I've strung myself right up.
I am a turkey that's voted for Christmas. He may or may not have said in Belgian.
Well,
Flemish.
Yeah.
I am a chocolate that have voted for mouth.
That'll do.
Yeah, that's fine. And we move on.
I speak Russian.
We move on together.
Sorry, yeah. Unit.
He formed a team called Club de Football Union, which was the, that was the origins of Chivas Guadalajara. Soon after they were created, they went on a European tour. Which I always find that quite funny. It's 1906, 1907 yeah. teams from the other side of the world tour in Europe.
Mm. But it does make it sound like they're playing songs.
Yeah.
Takes a while to get there and back and all sorts. It's yeah. a long old hop, yeah. you know.
But then you didn't have a professional league at the time, so yeah. what else were they going to do?
Yeah, true. So we've talked about many examples of sort of European teams going to Brazil and stuff like that. Yeah. You know?
So let them go back yeah. the other
do
way.
You, do what you want.
I suppose, right. weirdly, this is in the time that the game was spreading, wasn't it? So this sort yeah. of thing would have been really important to that.
An yeah. excellent point, Jim. Mm. Now, old Edgar realised that the teams who were named after their towns or cities in Europe were more popular to the local communities. So in 1908, the club's name was changed to Club Deportivo Guadalajara by Edgar Avarit. So that same year, it was also put in place that the team would only field Mexican players, because at the time, I think Mexicans felt a little oppressed by those who were living in the country from abroad, and so to gain sort of more public support, they thought this was a good idea. Now, we fast forward to the 40s. In 1943, the professional league was founded in Mexico. Guadalajara were one of the founding teams. And now, in 1948, it was a significant year in their history, because after a poor display against a team called Tampico, which is also the name of an orange juice, I think, out there, which is very tasty. Very okay. sugary, though, so don't drink too much of it. a local newspaper... There are other orange juices available. A local newspaper described Guadalajara's players as running around the pitch aimlessly like a herd of goats, or chivas in Spanish.
I was going to say, does chivas mean goats in Spanish?
It does.
Yeah, I couldn't put the connection to together, really.
That's it. That's where it comes from. Yeah. And it was obviously said in a derogatory manner, but the Guadalajara fans turned it round over the years, and that the club is pretty much known by that name now.
Sorry, the guy who founded him has got to be gutted. Yeah. He changed the name of the team to the name of the city to get more fans, and they start calling them goats.
Yeah, but this is the 40s, so he might have been long gone by then.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than Goatsy. I'll tell you what, Google that.
This is a lovely one, though. Another nickname of theirs is El Rebaño Sagrado, which is the Holy Flock.
Oh, I like that.
Now, their golden period was from 57 to 65. They won 7 league titles, and the team in the late 50s is considered one of the best teams in Mexican history. Now, let's move on to their rivalries, because this is where the fun really begins. They've got 2 main rivalries. The biggest one is with, I suppose, the other big side in Mexico.
America.
Called Club America, yeah. The Super Clásico. Excuse me. In the 1950s, their rivalry began. This was because the two most popular clubs at the time, Necaxa and Atlante, went through bad periods and fell into crisis, so Chivas replaced them. And I've never really looked back. I was still the most popular club in Mexico.
I remember Necaxa being in the Club World Championships.
Against Manchester United.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right, yeah. Also on the rise at the time in the 50s were Club America, who were backed by a big media mogul at the time, Emilio Azcárraga, who said back in the day, with their Mexican players, Chivas are the good guys, but we're going to buy the best foreigners and become the bad guys.
I like that.
makes, set his stall out.
Makes no excuses.
Yeah. And they're still there.
Yeah.
They're still the two big.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah. So in 1964, there was a particularly volatile match with now Chivas legend Guilmero El Tigre, the Tiger, Sepulveda being sent off. He took off his shirt and threw it to the ground and pointed at it and said, "That's all you need to beat America," and walked off. Now, 45 years on from that, in 2009, at halftime, Super Classico.
He's still there.
Yeah. No, they got the Tiger out again. 75 years old, he came out and repeated the act. 45 brilliant. Years on. Absolutely and Chivas went on to win 1-0.
The amount of times we do profiles or talk about South American football, and I just think to myself,
Europe, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, this is Central America.
It's, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Same ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. That's that one. So the Guadalajara derby is between Atlas and Chivas, of course. And this is the oldest surviving rivalry in Mexican football. Now, people from...
This is Atlas the God as well.
Yeah, he's holding up the sky.
Chivas are a much bigger club, are they not?
They are, indeed, yeah. People from Guadalajara are called Los Tapatios, so the derby is called the Clásico Tapatio. So, which is great.
De barbecue de patio.
Why am I minded the Fred West?
Oh, come on. Right, anyway, so now Atlas are... pretty much the rich guys across town.
Yeah.
And Chivas are more the working men. So very early on in the history of this fixture, sometimes the Atlas players, just to wind up the Chivas players, they would, or Guadalajara as they were called at the time, would talk in English to each other just to confuse the Guadalajara
snobby
players.
Snobby.
Yeah.
It's so incredible, snobby.
Isn't it just? But there's a great story from the Clásico Tapatío in 1955.
I just like it when you say it.
Or Tapatío, I suppose it would be pronounced. Chivas were 2-0 up, and their goalkeeper, Gomez, took the mick out of the opposition by getting someone from the crowd to throw him a magazine. Chivas were at home. And so he basically leant up against the post and just started reading the magazine saying,
I love it.
I've got nothing to do. Atlas were fuming at this. So when they went to when Chivas went to Atlas, Atlas won 3-0, and the fans were so incensed that every time a goal went in, magazines just rained down on the kids.
That is class. That is class.
How good is that?
Yeah, brilliant. They've thrown the book at him.
Yeah, they have. They have indeed. Chivas Guadalajara, they also have a sister team in the MLS, Chivas USA.
I love that.
They're owned by a Mexican.
That's right. I think it's the same owners or certainly vested interests. And every year, the Chivas US and Chivas Guadalajara play against each other in the Chiva Clásico.
Oh, nice.
So there's a few Clásicos going there. But we'll end with a quote from the club's official anthem. It says, "We're legends of the Mexican game. Wherever you are in Mexico, you'll always find a fellow Chiva." Which is lovely stuff.
And go on, the goats.
They're
Mexican goats.
They absolutely hammered Barcelona 4-1. Pinto, never seen so much action. That Marco Fabian, the sort of fellow who's the new hope for that particular club and indeed that particular country. He scored like a bicycle kick, like he rifled one in. It was earlier in the season, August time. And it was absolutely fabulous. But they beat him 4-1. But they seem to play faithless every time they scored.
Is that right?
I think so.
Which track?
I can't remember now. I think God is the details. Or they play some sort of like house track every time they score. They certainly did on the clip that that I saw.
Let them.
Allow them.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. Sorry, but we have to leave at some point. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Jimmy.
It is. If you get over to the website this week, you'll see the blog, which features the defensive one Joey Barton. Rupert Fryer explains the Copa Roca, a tournament between just Argentina
great
and Brazil. It's got the best name on the planet, frankly, I think, for a cup competition. If you can top that, do email in.
Classico Tapatio.
It's not a cup, though, is it? There's an interview with the one and only Barry Davies, exclusively from the pages of The Blizzard, so get over and look at that. That's great, as well as Minute by Minute, Dean Windass Hall of Fame entrance, and the Adventures of the Forum and all kinds of stuff. So get over there. It's footballramble.com.
On the forum last week, we were giving away a competition prize, basically a copy of Dead Island on Xbox 360 and also a copy of Body Count, a very good shooter as well. Just basically suggesting highlights from the forum and indeed highlights from the Football Ramble, basically. The show suggestion who wins a copy of Body Count will be at RCKD. So, and he nominated me changing the Wikipedia page for Kakifu and indeed
he picked me up, so he wins.
Well, I didn't choose them. Matt, the webmaster, chose
these.
So he's basically foisted this upon me. The person who wins the copy of Dead Island on Xbox 360 is Emmanuel Abue's Tiger Suit for suggesting the pun thread, which has been just a constant source of mirth and hilarity.
It's what it sounds like.
Let me pick up the pun thread and I'll bring it in for next week's show. And there's an amazing couple on there. Well, I'll have to read them out because we love a pun on here, don't we?
We do.
We certainly do. There'll be another competition this week to win a copy of F1 2011. It's the new game. It's just come out now and it's very, very good. It's a Formula One simulation, effectively, from Codemasters, who are kind of the experts at this sort of thing.
footballramble.com/forum/.
And remember, Ramble Pick Live, people. Lots of monies and funds to be had on there. It's live fantasy football during televised football matches coming up this Saturday. I can't think off the top of my head, but it'll definitely be there. So get involved. That gives me just about enough time to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Crafty. Goodbye.
Thanks for coming.
Ruined everything. Goodbye, everybody.
And goodbye, Luke.
Go fuck yourself. It's been a while, isn't it?
It's
my birthday.
The classic.
Don't have nightmares.
Oh, crumbs. Tony Kroos complaining that the wall wasn't back 10 metres.
Galguero. Allá viene Marco. Fuego!
Mamita querida. pelota. Un pase que era para bueno, para Fierro, la pelota le pasa por debajo.
Don't have nightmares.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.